cases 98-21 and 98-23, Carolyn Della Boulevard was specific indemnity company.
Whether it's a reasonable interpretation to include that type of motor vehicle. And I honestly don't see in this case where you have the definition that the UIM coverage is not directed to an automobile. It says an automobile or a motor vehicle. Well, if a helicopter isn't a motor vehicle, what is it? An automobile is a vehicle. A vehicle could be an aircraft. But the category of motor vehicle is much broader than an airplane, and much broader than an aircraft. I get that. But where you have a statute that says automobiles or motor vehicles, including motor vehicles that have runners, why wouldn't it apply to helicopters? Why shouldn't it apply to that? And then what we say, another reason that you buy it is we say, if there's to be an exclusion, that exclusion must be clear. There's no exclusion in this policy. There's only one section of this policy. That's a specific Schedule P, which has the UIM coverage. That section has no exclusion for helicopters. So if you look at the analysis of what the purchased it, for sure he didn't say to himself, you know, someday I'm going to buy a helicopter, I want this for helicopter coverage. But he did say, I want to buy the most maximum coverage I can get for my family, so that if I'm killed by somebody who doesn't have enough insurance, they're protected. That's why he bought a $500,000 and a $5 million umbrella. He tried to get maximum coverage for his family in the event of a catastrophe. And that, you know, when you look at your thing, the Shaver group policy, and you held that the purpose of the mandatory coverage is to protect persons from losses, which because the tort fees lack of liability would otherwise go uncompensated.
But, Counselor, one thing we always get, I always get stuck on this, that the whole idea behind that statute, the statute doesn't mandate coverage. Of course, it mandates an offer of coverage. And it's tough to get beyond. I think your argument is, I think you have an argument there, that the words in that statute don't seem to exclude helicopters. And we should go by the words. But nevertheless, I guess everybody knows we'd make the argument that that statute is drawn for vehicular accidents. It's drawn for motor, automobile accidents. I should use the right word. But it is, you know, it was a response to having uninsured drivers, not uninsured pilots. That's motorists. You know, when we say motorists in that statute, you know, we talk, including pilots, because that's a motor vehicle. Yeah, see, that's tough for people to swallow, but I think you make an ingenious argument.
But then that's because we tend to look at that section as insuring an automobile.
Why would we? Why would we make that silly, why we do it? I mean, it's not just we tend to. It was the whole intent of the General Assembly to address a problem of all of us driving cars and some not having sufficient insurance. And we all needed to know we had the availability of buying our own coverage to take care of that. I mean, there is a reason why we do that, why we all jump to that conclusion that we're talking about automobiles.
Well, I think it's also because the statute says automobiles, but it also says motor vehicles.
I know.
And there are a lot more motor vehicles that are automobiles than there are motor vehicles that are helicopters. So in the common sense, we don't tend to think of these other applications, but the statute talks in terms of automobiles or motor vehicles.
Could we, and I'm assuming we go with your argument, that there, you can't, it's definitionally not excluded. Can you go to the second certified question on the limitation of the policy that speaks to land, that adds land to the mix here?
Well, there's a couple. First of all, your decision in 1991, partially, your decision in 1992 in Alexander, both say that you cannot restrict the UIM coverage to something other than what is in the statute. You have to provide coverage to the statute mandate. The statute mandate coverage for an automobile or a motor vehicle, it does permit coverage merely for an automobile or of a
about it, and I know it's not going to be an argument to spend the customer with you, because you're skeptical of extending the scan out of the field. But when you think of this, the use of the word land, you tell me that isn't an ethic to say, what does it mean to say a land motor vehicle?
Nor, you know, you would think, you know, that you're right. My goodness, why would you say that? But interestingly, this case presents the exact scenario to find it unambiguous. You've given us the case that would say that it's not redundant. This case makes us see that word land could be used in a non-redundant way.
Well, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
And if the court is concerned about this, the boat case, let me make a distinction between the boat and the helicopter. First of all, a boat has no weapons. The helicopter did. Everybody has mentioned Stephen Reed, the boat and the best insurance company. This helicopter has weapons. And everybody agrees that you can use the runners to advance the airplane. They call it a running termination of the helicopter ride. But I think a more important distinction between the boat and the helicopter is the boat does take off from on top. A helicopter and an airplane take off from on top of land and return to land. A boat can terminate its voyage by throwing out the anchor, or by losing its wind, or whatever happens, without necessarily coming back to land.
Where does it go aground?
That could be another way to terminate the... Well, I suppose that would be an emergency
line.
So, maybe that, especially with a deep deal like yours. But I think the fact that there are distinctions between a boat and a helicopter, and I think that in this instance, this court should extend the coverage that the current purchase for the family to this instance of the crash of the helicopter.
Could the insurance company exclude anything that's not in the statute?
No.
So, in other words, if you feel that if the insurance company said accepts helicopters and airplanes in their policy, then that would be going contrary to what the statute allows.
I believe so. That's one of the things.
Martin versus Midwestern.
Right. Mm. I'm reserved 4 minutes.
I don't know. You have at least 2 minutes because you're way late to come out yet.
So. Well, I'll let you go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Maria.
Adopting legislation, it gets broader because people have ideas about what words should be used and what the present statute should be. How do we know the words here are kind of the same difficulty just as Cook is, because I think we read words and statutes and apply them as they're written, if they make sense. certainly their general assembly could provide this coverage to persons in helicopters. I mean, you would agree with that, I guess.
Indeed, that's correct. They could have made that decision. I think specifically through their OAC opinion 6061, as well as the case law that's been cited in our brief, as well as the fact that there's a specific statute for aircraft in the Ohio Revised Code. We can infer from there certainly aircraft is not intended to be included in the UMUI provision. And I do think before we even get to rudder, before we get to speed, before we get to watercraft, the point here is that if aircraft leaves the land, if UMUI purposes is for motor vehicles on land that goes from point A to point B, and where does it say that? And it does not say that specifically. In the case of state, in the Hines case, I do think that this court has said that aircraft is not a motor vehicle on respect to the definition of section 45, allowed by code 45. I do think that's important.
The limit coverage would cover one as you drive the tractor.
Well, in specific case regarding backhoes and the backhoe is not considered motor vehicle for UMUI purposes. Watercraft is also included.
A backhoe is not.
That is indeed correct.
The tractor would be.
I'm not here to make a specific distinction of which vehicle would or would not be considered a motor vehicle for UMUI purposes. I am here to say, still, as you say, a helicopter is not a motor vehicle for UMUI purposes.
There's some discussion, I believe, in autos, which is about the business of your policy has a decision about being land.
Indeed, that's correct. Our policy, the specific policy, does have provision specifically saying land or vehicle,
and I don't know whether I'm misreading other owners' brief. I thought I read there the suggestion that it's already controlled by whether or not something flies is necessarily excluded. If it's not excluded, it would be inappropriate for you to exclude.
I think I know the reference you're referring to, and if it flies, it's not a motor vehicle for UMUI purposes under any company policy. I do think that the reference you may be referring to in the auto owner's brief was that if this court holds that land motor vehicle use of that phrase is against public policy, which would only mean that if you turn coverage beyond what is mandatory under that statutory provision to use the word land.
I think if you disagree with their argument.
It's not a matter of disagreeing. I think the term, with all due respect, I think the term land is redundant. I think the term land in the UMUIN purposes was built in. I think the term land in our policy merely states what the term motor vehicle means, that a vehicle used on land.
Well, would you agree with the argument that the case is all controlled on the answer to the first question?
I think that is correct.
For purposes of the helicopter, the answer to the first question is that aircraft are included, then your language would be impermissible.
Well, I'm going to have to. I think that the term land motor vehicle, if it is understood to restrict UIMUM provisions, that if the term land further restricts UIN coverage than is mandated by the General Assembly, then yes, that term is prohibited and against public policy.
It is almost the answer to the
question. I think our policy, however, with all due respect to Mr. Murray, does go on to talk about if there are different provisions in the UIN policy that if the motor vehicle is used primarily off-road and not on a public road, it is also excluded for UMUI purposes. Certainly a helicopter primarily is not used on-road, primarily. If you're going to consider a helicopter a motor vehicle and disguise off-road, I don't think that's what the General Assembly intended, but you have to consider that.
Well, then why would you concede for Justice Pfeiffer, concede his question that the second question can't stand alone? If this court were to say Hine didn't deal with this particular issue of UIM and therefore the language in the Hine case is not dispositive or controlling or it doesn't harness us in any way, then the second question you would say the second question could stand alone in terms of the permissibility of such a limitation, because that does. The only reason this court's ever said that there was a limitation on that was a whole public policy argument. So would you still think you have a public policy argument that would be contrary to the arguments this court has brought?
Absolutely. And I think that certainly not is clear, unambiguous. He claims the boat can be docked and not docked. The helicopter is flying. The primary purpose of the helicopter is flying. There is no purpose of protecting the motoring public when it deals with insurance, underinsured motor vehicles. If you're dealing with helicopters, it also makes inspections dealing with aircraft in the Ohio Refinery Code redundant and common sense dictates for that.
Is the operation on land is important to the distinction?
For purposes of this discussion, yes.
That generally, though, with respect to aircraft,
wouldn't it be your contention that if you answer the first certified question no, you never get to the second one?
That's right.
Okay, because it sounds to me like you're saying for the purpose of this discussion we have to do the second question as well.
Absolutely.
If you do the first question.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Smith. Mr. Gallagher.
That's totally consistent with specific indemnity included in the policy, because in fact, when the court has declared the board, the insurance company has to give a different coverage to do that in terms of the policy. But it's consistent with the code otherwise that the implementable findings is not going to call for the tax. I'd like to go to some sections of the modified code sections that we're dealing with here, in terms of the UN tax and the definition section regarding the vehicles. We're talking about the UN tax, the title of it, the uninsured motorist tax. Uninsured motorist, uninsured motorist. The word motorist appears several times throughout the tax. We suggest a reasonable interpretation of the UN word stop pushing popular votes, not certain who operate the airplane.
Or a bicycle, even if a bicycle hits somebody who's jogging. Is that right? So this business of the uninsured motorist coverage following the person, not the vehicle, it follows the person so long as the person is injured by a motor vehicle. Doesn't follow you very far sometimes.
The legislation affects the drug, the snowmobiles, all terrain vehicles, effect that they are covered by 3511.01, the traffic section. Sunset separation from charge to helicopter.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Shamir, you saved almost 3 minutes of your time.
Thank you, John Gallagher. By stretching the freedom of financial responsibility act as a Heinz game, and in preparation for his argument, full strength, so that he knew that what morality is not risk. Let me tell you why.
Is that in the record?
I think I like this. First of all, the financial responsibility act, FRA, never refers to UIM. UIM never refers to the financial responsibility. Required by UIM is that you provide a policy, you offer a policy that is UIM compliant.
Can Mr. Murray, I'm looking at the language of the statute. I'm wondering about the, I don't know, are helicopters have a state licensing, or would they be just FAA licensing, which would be national? That's my guess. Yeah, okay. Because the first paragraph, of course, that opens the whole statute talks about, yes, no, 39, 37, 18. I'm sure you know it by heart by now, but it speaks to any motor vehicle registered or principally garaged in this state. Both, to me, both those terms are add to the suggestion that this would exclude aircraft. What do you think? They're not registered, we think, but and are they garage or are they hangared? I mean, a motorist, pilot, hangar, garage, you know, these are the things we struggle with.
That has nothing to do with coverage. This has to do with what type of coverage must be provided to hurt out of the field.
Yeah.
Well, once they're garaging, the insurance is out of the field, then the next question isn't the question of whether or not this is a light motor vehicle, garage, or otherwise. That has nothing to do with this issue. That's the issue of what type of policies you have to issue to current eligibility for an automobile. It doesn't have anything to do with what type of insurance you have to issue to the helicopter, motor, or operator. That's not covered by the section at all. Well, all it says is, if you're going to sell him an automobile policy,
right,
then you're going to have UIM coverage. That UIM coverage is going to cover, if you're injured, after you have this coverage in a motor vehicle that has runners, you have coverage. And it's just that simple, I believe. And the issue of Heinz, for example, the court decided Heinz in an entirely different section. It had nothing to do with UIM. It only had to do with the court's decision whether it would make sense to have arms on a helicopter. The court said, well, it would make any sense. You're not looking up. You really shouldn't be if you're driving down, but it should be looked up. And the Attorney General's opinion, they say, it has nothing to do with that. Well, where you record certain instruments and the decision of Hansen that they decide is against that. It has nothing to do with UIM. The bicycle issue of John, for example, that's specifically covered by the statute. It excludes on the definition of motor vehicle bicycle because that stuff is powered by a human being. These other policy definitions that they cite to you, and they cited, for example, an unregistered vehicle, that's in the personal liability. They cite other policy sections. Those policy sections are not what govern. That's a boat section. The only section that covers the specific policy, section C. They cite, for example, the primary purpose of the helicopter is to fly. If that's so, then it's the primary purpose of an automobile, to drive. And if you use the automobile for something other than driving, let's say it's a beautiful car and you come following your neighbors and you drive it, does that mean you forfeit coverage? Of course not. We don't go to looking at your subservient issues, what was the primary purpose of the vehicle. What we want to know is, did you have an underlying policy that you purchased? Did that policy that provided the mandated UIM coverage, and what is the UIM coverage? Thank you, Robert.
Thank you. In case you submit it, you'll be advised of our opinion, Marshall. Please, of course.